This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
The answer very simply is that it takes everything you have. At some point, it will cost you your financial independence. At some other point, it might cost you your self-respect. At another point, it might cost you your, you know, what you think of yourself. Your self-image might get hurt. You might stop thinking of yourself as a radical revolutionary and start thinking of yourself as someone who wasted his life doing the things that he quote unquote wanted to do. Yeah, as I was trying to say, like, as far as I'm concerned, if I ever have a grave and it has a gravestone, I would like it to say, I tried some things and some of them worked and some of them didn't, but I died happy. Work for about 6 to 7 months every year, make enough money, and then devote the rest of the year to private projects. I needed to hear from someone that I was on a path that had merit, and he did that. Because it was very difficult to hear from people that, you know, mostly what you hear is that, you know, you're an art student, what are you going to do with your life? Yeah, he still looks the same. He knocks on people's doors and goes in and cleans their toilets and then runs away. So at 8:45, my mother comes to my tuition classes and she says, sir, please let him go. It's time for his cartoons. Yeah, she's going to love this man. She has no idea how much of a narcissist she is.
If you think you enjoyed our last conversation with Vijayendra Mohanty, aka Vimo, you ain't seen nothing yet. I think the best part of this two-part conversation, even though I'm not supposed to say it, is this part. And totally tune into this. I'm not going to be wasting a lot of time talking about a history and background and what happened and blah, blah, blah. If you are not able to understand what we're talking about, check out the previous episode. If you understood what we're talking about, continue listening to this. I really hope you enjoy tuning in to the Passion People podcast. And if you like what you listen, share your feedback. If you don't like what you listen, share your feedback. We love hearing from you. Thank you so much for taking time to tune in. This is Naga signing off. Have a wonderful podcast listening experience.
So keep your eye on the future and prepare for where the world is going to be in 5 years. Don't prepare for where your grandfather wanted you to be, because his world is extinct. Those dinosaurs disappeared off the face of the earth a long time ago. With all due respect to all grandparents everywhere, I love you, but you don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Yep, absolutely. So how did you go about that journey, right? Like, now you're completing school, and so what were the choices that were in front of you, and how did you make those choices?
So I knew early on that I wanted to tell stories. And it was apparent to me and to everyone around me that I was going to tell stories in one form or the other. I never lost touch with that aspect of my life. Like, I never let anyone tell me, don't waste time reading books because you need to study math right now. And the coolest thing about all this was that at least on one occasion, you know, Sunday morning cartoons, right? Aladdin, Batman, Disney Club.
Oh, absolutely. Disney R. Vishal used to come, I think. And that's how I learned.
Yes. Vishal, unfortunately, is these days selling Harpic. but
and back still in looks the, day, the same, though. He still looks the same.
He knocks on people's doors and goes in and cleans their toilets and then runs away.
Oh, man. That's just a piece of nostalgia.
It's weird. But yeah, seeing Vishal, this reminds me of Sunday morning cartoons. But what happened was that I had a tuition class. It started at 7:30 or 8, and it was supposed to end at 8:30 so that people could go back, and it was a Sunday morning. And my cartoons obviously started 9. And I'm looking at the clock, I'm waiting for the time to come, and the test is not over, and our, you know, tutor was giving us more problems to solve. And I was thinking, that's it, this Sunday is gone, I'll never get back. And this was way, way, way before satellite television. If you missed Sunday morning cartoons, you had no cartoons for the rest of the week. This was maybe even before DD Metro. So just Doordarshan was there, and you got a few cartoons on Sunday morning. That was it. So at 8:45, my mother comes to my tuition classes and she says, sir, please let him go. It's time for his cartoons. And for the rest, I, like, you know, I don't know. I have never known any parents who do that.
I really want a shout out for your mom to say that, you know, she's a league apart, and that, you know, I wish more,
more totally.
Moms take cue from her. Auntie, I think you've done like a fantastic job doing whatever you've done so far.
Yeah, she's going to love this, man. She's going to love this. So she rescued me from my tuitions because she, on some level, she understood. Yeah, listen, he can do math 24 hours a day for a year or 2 years or however long you want him to do math. He's not going to get better at it. But this is going to do something with. So she recognized that and she helped me with that. She was not very extremely enthusiastic about comic books with violence in them. But she did buy me a lot of books. She encouraged me to go to book fairs. She encouraged me to write. She was one of my first readers, of course. My father, who's not very much into books, he still never got in my way or in, you know, my mother's way. And we were all in sync on this level, that they all knew that I was going to get into this side of my career and they supported it. So after schooling ended, after 10th board ended, after all the depression passed, which is, you know, almost necessary depression for everyone around us. Nobody is happy with their 10th results. I mean, I was happy I got 48%. People were crying after receiving 95%. And I was wondering, where do these people come from? So that happened. And then in college, I chose arts, obviously, and got more interested in history than I had been in school because I had good teachers in college. Right. When you can choose your subject, the world changes. And you're an adult, you're making choices, that kind of thing. And even there, you know, in arts subjects, there is also a hierarchy. Like there is an outside hierarchy, which says on top, there is science, then there is commerce, then there is arts. And in within arts, there is on top, there is economics, then there is something else, then there is something else. And there is, at the end, there is literature. Because apparently you can't go do anything with your life if you study literature, except be a college teacher. So that was also a pressure. It's very weird because every single time I have faced a career choice, I have chosen the option that everyone else threw away.
Right.
Like it wasn't as if I got into English literature because economics rejected me. I got into English literature because I wanted to go there. And apart from me and one other kid, there was no one in the class who had not been rejected by economics. Everyone had wanted economics, got rejected, and ended up in English literature. And the same thing happened later on when I, you know, tried to get into journalism college. I got a very cool mentor alongside college when I was doing my MA, which I dropped out of, by the way. I finished my BA. I joined MA, but I didn't finish it. And I went for journalism in ACJ. And before I went to ACJ, I had a very cool mentor who, you know, it's very difficult to quantify what he contributed to my growth, but it was mostly I needed to hear from someone that I was on a path that had merit. And he did that because it was very difficult to hear from people that, you know, mostly what you hear is that, you know, you're an art student. What are you going to do with your life? And it's not even a question. It's a rhetorical thing that makes you question your choices in life. But yeah, he did that. Then I went into ACJ and they had three streams. One was print journalism, one was mass communication, broadcast, and one was cyber journalism, which was called new media back in the day.
So broadcast was the radio and TV broadcast or?
No, not radio. They didn't have radio back in the day. This was 2004. So they had TV broadcast journalism, they had print news journalism, and they had new media. And again, a hierarchy. TV was on top, print was second, and new media was last. And I chose the last option. And again, there were very few people in class who had chosen new media. Everyone had applied for print or broadcast media and then ended up in new media. And even then, they used to tell us that new media or cyber media is going to take some time to get established in India because, you know, hardware is a very solid requirement that most people without money can't cross. But then they were assuming that in order to get online, you need a computer. And the smartphone revolution had not happened then. And then it happened. And now we are where we are right now.
And they didn't see it coming.
They saw it coming. They kind of thought it would take 20 years. It took like 5 to 7 years.
Right. And I think that's been the half-life of technology implementation over all of these decades, right? The speed has always been picking up pace as time passes. And we've always been missing our estimates.
Our wildest, in general also, like if you read science fiction from the last century, very few people foresaw a worldwide communication network of the kind that we have. Like I am right now. What are we doing right now? We are recording.
This is fantastic.
Yeah. We are. I am sitting at home in Odisha on the east coast of India. And you are somewhere in the south. And I am talking into a mobile device, which is, not only allowing us to communicate, but record this as a permanent thing that will live forever on the internet and anyone can listen to it. This is magic. Every time I hear someone complain about lagging video or, bad CGI, I think, dude, we didn't have food once upon a time. People were dying on the roadside. People had to travel for months on sea ships. You are complaining about leg space? You can go from the east coast of India to the west coast of India in 2 hours. It's like a bus journey. I think maybe it's because I'm old. I'm almost getting to 40 these days. Uh-huh. And I have gained a slightly an old man's perspective on technology, which is that it's awesome. It may have its own drawbacks. It may have its own drawbacks. But I am someone who, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I just crossed 29.
Oh, okay. So you're like 10 years, 7 to 8 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because you know this. We just spoke about Vishal and Disney Club on Sunday mornings. We are the generation who grew up without technology.
Yep.
And even though with the 90s nostalgia is a huge thing on the internet these days, none of us would want to go live in that world. None of us can anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess a good way to say it is like all these are first world problems that we don't realize are first world problems.
So, yeah. So where was I? Oh, yeah. Journalism college.
Yeah, where new media has now eaten print media and digital media for breakfast.
So that was then. Uh-huh. And one of the reasons I really loved new media is because I discovered computers when I was in BA, like English Literature BA in Ravenshaw College.
Okay.
I went to my uncle's office and I discovered computers. Uh-huh. And somebody said, so this is like, you can find anything. And I typed in Spider-Man and I went to the New Line Cinema website and I was blown away. There was nothing there. And I was still blown away.
Right.
I mean, what is happening?
Hmm.
So I then started spending a lot of money on cyber cafes. Hmm. Like back then it was 40 rupees per hour.
Yeah.
And I, at one point of time, owed 900 rupees to the local cyber cafe wala. But he liked me because he never saw me browse porn or anything. He knew that I was trying to learn things. So he let me sit and it got to 900 rupees. And I paid him back the day I got admission into ACJ because my mom was too happy on that day to feel bad about me wasting money. So I paid him back that day. And the best thing I learned while at ACJ was, I learned more about web publishing.
Okay.
Building websites, publishing content, all the technologies that go into it. And then that was, that was 2005 and now we are in almost 2020.
Right.
So things have come so far, so far. I would not have imagined the kind of abilities every single one of us is carrying in our pockets all day. I would not have imagined it to be so ubiquitous when I was sitting in a cyber cafe in 2004.
Right.
And yet we are here. And now I can, sitting in my bedroom, I can create a program, a proper video program, a proper audio program. I can send out messages to tens of thousands of people on social networks. this kind of, I mean, I'm a writer, and if you have ever spoken to anyone in the writing community in the Indian comic book industry, you know, you'll find complaints about how publishers are not doing enough to give writers exposure and things like that. And my response to them has always usually been that, you know, you don't know that publishing is an industry that is almost permanently going into losses. But the writer has at his exposure a set of tools which he can use to not only create stuff, but to distribute stuff and to market that stuff. And still so few of us do it, or at least so few of us do it well.
Yep. And also there's the option of publishing, digital publishing on your own, Kindle Direct Publishing. Like you said, the options are there is way too many.
Yeah, too many options, and they come and go at such a rate that by the time you have learned how to do one thing, it is already outdated. So that's been my journey, except for my career journey was that I first joined a very, very shitty ad agency in Chennai for 5,000 rupees a month. And I worked there for 1 month. So all I got from them was 5,000 rupees.
Okay.
And then I applied for a job on the news desk at an online portal in Mumbai, which was my first trip to Mumbai. I stayed there for 2-3 years. Then I quit that job and I went to Delhi, where my father had been posted prior to his retirement. And I stayed there with my parents and I wrote Ravanayan, So that was 2-3 years because Ravanayan came out over a long period of time. There were 10 issues.
Right.
And we are right now in the 8th year of Ravanayan since the first book came out.
Wow. At least I'm very fortunate that I have the entire box set together so I can just binge through the entire thing.
Yeah. And we are running out of individual issues. So sometime in the next year, we are going to bring out a hardbound complete trade paperback.
Wow. I look forward to that.
So Ravanayan happened in Delhi. Uh-huh. And then after my parents left, after my father's retirement, I stayed on in Delhi for a couple of more years. Worked at a news portal, news and opinion portal, mm-hmm. where I was features editor. Then I came to Mumbai, where I joined Culture Machine and ran Epified for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Then I quit that and stayed on in Mumbai for another year because I was writing something which might one day actually become a novel, but I don't know what it is yet. It's called Narayan Ojha and the Secrets of the Universe. It's okay. Finished, but I have not been able to go into second drafts of it.
Okay.
So I tried to, you know, publish it on the web through Patreon, uh-huh. but, you know, some factors came into play that were not really in my control, and that project is kind of hanging in the balance right now.
Okay.
But since that ended, I have come back here. I have tried to work from here. Like I take up individual projects which last a few months for different mm-hmm. companies. And like the idea is to work for about 6 to 7 months every year, uh-huh. make enough money, and then devote the rest of the year to private projects.
Wow.
So that's what I'm trying to do these days.
Okay.
And it's something that you can only do from a small town, because in Mumbai, whatever you make, 70 to 80% of it goes into your rent and travel and food.
Right.
Here, at least I don't have to pay rent mm-hmm. and everything is cheaper. So given that we all live in a world where, like I just spoke about the magic of communication technology, right?
Right.
Given that we no longer live in a world where we have to live within a commuting distance of our workplaces, mm-hmm. I think this is something more people should try.
Yep, absolutely. And I think the potential is immense, right? Because you're not losing out on opportunities because you're not connected to the right people, because you can remotely reach out to them and still have those conversations and still get the word out and really, you know, make yourself stand
out.
Yes.
If you remember, I had asked you, had you always done this podcast remotely, or were you at some point of time going and actually uh-huh. meeting people?
So you're the second, you're the third podcast that I'm doing remotely out of around 50 episodes. Yeah, but it's just something
that's
a lot simpler, and the lead time to get an episode record is a lot shorter. And at least this way I can have a conversation, because otherwise I've just been delaying so many episodes that, you know, it didn't really make sense.
No, that's a good thing. I think you should only avoid doing remotes if it's, you know, someone really famous and you want to get your mug in the same video with them. But otherwise, don't do it. Like, remotes are a better option. They're more efficient. You'll be able to put out more content, and it's not like people are losing out on anything. That's still a conversation that they can listen to and
absolutely
appreciate.
Yeah. So you mentioned that, so two follow-up questions, right? The first one is that you said you were in an ad agency that you didn't really enjoy.
Uh-huh.
So what were the aspects, what were some specific aspects that you wish yes. were different? And, you know, maybe going into your first job, what were things that you wanted?
Well, it's not really, you know, it's an ad agency. They have their own clientele and their requirements. The work, the kind of work ethic they have left much to be desired, not in terms of the work itself, but from the, you know, physical requirements from a person who has just joined your company. So the working hours were morning 10 o'clock to night 11 p.m. And this one had to do after getting to office on a crowded train for 2 hours and then getting back home another 2 hours. So it was mostly that which took the steam out of me. And the work wasn't very creative either. I was writing copy to sell credit cards.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it was more of a digital marketing agency
okay.
than an ad agency. But yeah, the thing with, you know, clients, I'm sure you have some.
True. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that happened. That happened. And at the end of the day, I got to a point where it seemed like more effort than it was worth.
Got it.
5,000 rupees a month for, you know, literally almost 14 to 15 hours a day. It didn't seem like much. And then I stopped going.
Makes sense.
And I stayed for a few months at home, deciding that, you know, just making, you know, just getting a job isn't worth it if I'm not enjoying it, or if I'm at least not enjoying part of it. So I sat home, applied to a bunch of places that I really mm-hmm. wanted to get into. And one of those places called back, and then I got into it in Mumbai.
Right. So would you call that like a deliberate? So I guess that deliberate, effortful decision making really worked out for you, because you were very, you know, aware of what you wanted and what you didn't want.
Yes, it has been a path, actually. I'm still getting there, because as part of the life of someone who is more or less a freelancer, mm-hmm. there is always going to be a kind of pressure on you, which is, you know, take up this thing because it'll make you some money. And if you are, you know, if you are a creator of anything, like I write comic book scripts, I write essays, I write videos, I write podcast episodes, and I do the things that I enjoy. But when you are in a, you know, when you are in a pinch, you will take up a project that you don't enjoy, and you will end up not doing such a great job with it, which will end up in either you not getting paid at all, or you making some amount of money, but thinking that this was way more effort than the amount of money it made me. So one of the more nightmarish instances that I underwent once I moved here was that I got, there was a comic book publisher somewhere in Navi Mumbai. I won't take the name, but the name starts with an F, which is a nice direction for the story to go in, because that's what happened to me. I got F'd. I got into a contract with them, mm-hmm. and I had to write a script for them. I wrote 100 pages of script for them. And then at the end of the day, when I submitted it, they just flat out refused to pay it. And it was a fairly good amount of money. It was half a lakh.
Wow.
They just flat out refused to pay. And I didn't pursue the matter because I was not in the best mental state at that point of time.
Mm-hmm.
And any like, you know, they can, a standard sized company can afford to pay a lawyer to make your life miserable for months on end.
Right.
An individual creator can't do that, even if he initiates legal proceedings. And on top of that, if that individual creator was, you know, fairly depressed at that point of time, it can take a toll on your health also. So I decided to look at it from the point of view is that this is a project I should never actually have taken.
Yeah.
And this is the, you know, this is the universe's way of telling me, don't take up shit jobs. Take up jobs that you enjoy doing. Make whatever little money you can, because now you're not in Mumbai and nobody is taking, you know, 60 to 70% of your salary out of you.
Right.
You can afford to make a little more money. You can still end up saving much more money and you'll do okay.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a series of unfortunate events that led me to the point where I am right now, which is that I'm fairly comfortable where I am and the things that I'm doing. And that, I lost that chain of thought, but you get my point.
Yeah, I do. But I think this is a common challenge amongst the creative community, right? Because, you know, you have this strong sense of purpose and you have this really, you're really attuned to your inner thoughts. So, you know, what kind of work fulfills you, but at the same time, there's a conflict because you're not seeing your bank account rise in tandem with your levels of happiness.
Yeah. Or at least in my case, you're not seeing your bank account rise at the rate that it rises for your in a job where you might have made more money. It still rises. It won't make you a millionaire. It won't give you a quote unquote comfortable lifestyle. I say quote unquote because even those lifestyles are not very comfortable. I know people who live in big cities whose kids go to the best schools. They are, you know, they have very good jobs. They have their own houses and they're still not happy.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't have a perspective on, right? Because everyone wants to fit into that perfect frame of success. But nobody realizes that, you know, we are all the creators of our own success scripts. And, you know, as long as it is making us happy and, you know, it's not really hurting anyone.
Yeah.
Then that is what truly happiness is.
Yeah. As I was trying to say, like, as far as I'm concerned, if I ever have a grave and it has a gravestone, I would like it to say, I tried some things and some of them worked and some of them didn't, but I died happy.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's way better than having my last CTC on my gravestone.
Last CTC, these many lakhs, amount of life lived was, you know, not that much. Yeah.
Have you seen that cartoon where, you know, global warming has destroyed everything and a corporate guy is sitting around a fireplace talking to young people? And he said, we destroyed the planet, kids, but we created some value for our shareholders.
True. That's the perpetual conflict, right? That's the economic gain versus, you know, gain or environmental balance or ecological balance.
Yeah. I tell myself that I am being mean to people who work hard creating value for their shareholders. But then I tell myself it's not my concern. I'm allowed to be angry about the things that I'm angry about. And they're allowed to be angry at the things that they're angry about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not like chartered accountants have an easy life either. I'm sure you agree.
I do. And, you know, that's what I was saying, that the choices that I made also specifically were ones that gave me a little bit more flexibility, a little bit more freedom to pursue things like the podcast. And, you know, even though I have a very, you know, demanding job, it's not as crazy as it could get. And if I want, it could have gotten really crazy. But once you have that worm inside your head that says that you need time for yourself, you need time for reflection, you need time to really talk to people, you want to create something new. Once that bug bites you, I think there's no real way of going back. And I think it's a journey that most of us people, creative, at least I'd like to consider myself as a creative person. And I think it's something that most of us creative people go through, that you have this really strong internal compass that starts guiding you about, you know, what is making you happy. And, you know, and you realize that money is really overrated. And as long as you have whatever you need to sustain, I guess you'll figure the rest out. What do you think?
Yeah. I agree with you. I think the bit that you said about money being overrated, a lot of people think that when you say money is overrated, you mean that money is not important.
Right.
Money is very important. Without money, I could not be doing any of the things that I do, and you could not be doing any of the things that you do. The thing is, I think the key thing is knowing the difference between rated and overrated. Rate money at the level that it deserves, but don't go above that.
So for people who want to take up the creative arts, right? For people who are making the choices that are unconventional for their time, the way you did. So what would your advice be for them?
Well, the cynical side, the cynical side of me would say, don't do it.
Okay.
Because I think you should start with a point of, you know, the worst possible consequence, and then ask yourself if you are okay with that.
Okay.
Because if when someone asks me, what does it take to do the things that they want to do? The answer very simply is that it takes everything you have. At some point, it will cost you your financial independence. At some other point, it might cost you your self-respect. At another point, it might cost you your, you know, what you think of yourself. Your self-image might get hurt. You might stop thinking of yourself as a radical revolutionary and start thinking of yourself as someone who wasted his life doing the things that he quote-unquote wanted to do, pursue their dreams. It sounds very nice on paper, but in real life, it takes a serious chunk out of your soul. And not many people actually make it.
Yep.
Many people try and give up. Some people never try. Some people try, make it, and still think that it wasn't all that they thought it would be. So get into this only if you're okay with all these possibilities. I mean, everyone should be allowed to make their own mistakes, obviously. I made my share. Everyone else has made their share. I'm sure you have made yours also. But, you know, we have this culture where art, you see memes on social media, right? With flowery backgrounds and quotations and talk about heart and dreams and stuff. It's all very nice, but it's the facade. It's the outside layer of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the nice painting on the wall of the house that you want to go inside. You look at it, you will go into it, but you may not find that the house, when you go inside it, is very hospitable.
Right.
It takes, I rail against people who take up comfortable, normal lives and jobs all the time. But I have a little bit of respect for people who wanted to follow their dreams, but were also sane enough to know that they can't do it full time. And they then, you know, sought security. There is no shame in that. Because without a solid economy backed by people who take up stable jobs, work towards creating employment, work towards feeding their families, I perhaps would not have been where I am. Like, my father was a normal day jobber. He could not have paid for my education without, you know, giving up maybe his ambition of becoming a singer. But he did. And there is something there to be respected, I think. So there is no shame in not pursuing a career where you don't pursue your dreams. But if you do, do it with the understanding that it will take a lot out of you.
Yep, and be willing to put the hard work that it takes.
Yes, that, you know, there are very few things. Hard work is kind of a subjective thing. Like, a lot of people think hard work is literally, you know, cutting off your own fingers. Like, take up a job where you suffer. That is hard work. Sometimes if you love your job, it doesn't seem like hard work. You may be completely exhausted by the end of the day, but you sleep with a sense of fulfillment. That's also hard work, but it's not painful. But if you're working hard at something that, you know, you don't even believe in, then that's just self-flagellation. It's not hard work. I think if you are a hardworking individual, put your hard work in the general direction of creating something that you want to create.
Yep. I have nothing else to add to that. And I think
I went too dark. I'm really getting old, man. This 40 thing is like, I'm not 40 yet. I'm 37. But I think I'll be terrible after I cross 40. I'll become I'm a literal grouchy grandfather these days. Don't listen to me, kids. Follow your dreams. It'll all be nice.
But I think it's a very important perspective to have. To have that holistic view of things. And that is something that we typically miss. And again, that is the reason that we're doing this kind of a podcast. And that's the reason that we're talking to you, because we want to learn from your experiences and your story. And I think you've done a stellar job of that.
Let me learn from my experiences first. Because, okay, here's the thing. I should make something very clear. All the gyan that I'm giving, I myself have not assimilated all of this yet. I am not a guru sitting on a hilltop giving advice to young people who want to follow this life. If you are someone who is going to take up a career path that your parents want you to, you should know that they are doing it only because they know that path. They know what it looks like, because other people have gone down that road and they have gotten to a point where they might be called quote unquote successful. But if you take up a career path that resembles mine, which is into the arts, creative writing, comic books, animation, YouTubing, podcasting like you, then you should know that there is no road here. You are going to have to make it up as you go along. There is no, nobody teaches you how to be a comic book writer, at least in India. Every time I use the phrase comic book writer, I laugh a little because there is no industry. Like when I was growing up, there was this thing where people used to say comic books are for kids. And now those same kids have grown up and they are comic book publishers. So that's all we have right now. We are a generation which grew up with some preconceived notions about what a career is supposed to look like. And now we have an alternate version of it. And hopefully, if we work hard, we can build something that future generations can take advantage of. But we are not there yet. And anyone who gets into it right now will become part of the generation that builds that future path. So all the grouchy grandpa advice that I gave some time ago was mostly because if people get into the creative, creative line thinking that, you know, I'll do this, then I'll do this, then I'll do this, and then I'll get where I need to be, that is not going to happen. It's a whole lot of floundering around in the darkness, not knowing what you're doing, failing multiple times, and making friends, of course, and then figuring out with them where to go. In India, like, you know, at least in the US, comic book writer is not really a career choice that comes to people's mind very readily. But in the US, at least there are companies, established companies, which publish comic books. We don't in India. We have comic book publishers, and they are, you know, as established that they can be in the atmosphere that we are in. But the level of stability that an engineering job or a medical job gives you, a creative line job will not give you, unless you support it with money that you make from some other job, like I did once upon a time and you are doing right now, if I'm guessing right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
So that, and I guess that's at the end of the day, I guess that is the path that we have chosen to pursue our passion, right? But I think what it merits to remember, what it makes sense for people to remember, is that you may have to find your own path and figure it out as you go on the fly.
Yeah.
And you know, and you're a pioneer in the field.
Yeah. And I think that's, in addition to being a warning, it's also something that is, or potentially can be, very liberating. Like,
Yep.
You know, people tell you, okay, so you can become this, you can become A, B, or C, and then you come up with an X. And you don't know what that X is, nor does anyone around you. But the unique thing is that if you do manage to become the X, you will be the first X ever.
Right.
And that's, I think, something very cool. Because once you become that X, other people can aspire to become an X. Because you stand as an example before them.
Yep. And that is what we're trying to do. Catalog the stories of those people who are trying to become X. I typically do like a, you know, a roundup or a summary or a, you know, questionnaire. But I think you've actually done most of my job for me. I've covered all of this so well.
Yeah. That's the advantage of talking to someone who, you know. I think if you had been here in front of me, you would have right now been looking at your wristwatch and going, my Uber is outside. I'll talk to you next time.
No, I don't think that is true, because typically my interviews are like, it's a half a day affair, or at least 2-3 hours at the minimum.
Okay.
And so there's a pre-interview and I spend time with them. And then after that, there's an interview and stuff like that.
Okay.
But I think with us, we've done it in like record time and made like a lot of content in the process, and still have it in the general direction where we wanted to go. So oh, I'd call it like a huge win.
I thought we digressed a lot. I think I digressed a lot. So I was wondering if you actually got what you wanted out of this.
I'm telling you, I don't need to do a roundup. I don't need to do a summary. I don't need to, like, you've pretty much solved my existential crisis of why and how I'm doing this podcast also.
So that's what podcasts are supposed to be.
Yeah. So I'm very good, and you know, and I'm really glad that you were able to make the time, Vimo, to be on the podcast.
My pleasure. I've been beating myself up. I have cancelled what, 2-3 times.
I've also cancelled a couple, but it's totally fine.
Still, you know, I almost came to the verge of cancelling today also. I thought maybe we could do it on Sunday night, but then I realized it's not going to happen. I'm going to have to cancel tomorrow also. I might as well get this done today. I'm kind of chasing a deadline, and my publisher Vivek Goel, peace be upon him, shall forgive me if he listens to this. I am 5 pages away from the end, and I had to record this interview. Okay, I had no choice.
Vivek, please show some mercy for Vimo, and I'm sure the episode is going to be worth it. And Vivek is part of Holy Cow Entertainment, which
he's,
publishes.
He's the boss. He's Vivek is the publisher of Holy Cow and owner. And
right,
we are. I think it is safe to say I don't like to, you know, do things like world's first or Bharat mein pehli bar. But I think Holy Cow Entertainment is creating what is going to be India's next superhero universe right now, and I'm very glad to be part of it. I'm like very glad to be creating that future along with, like, you know, very awesome writers and artists like Ashwin and Gaurav and Tadam and Vivek.
I totally second you, Vimo, and as someone who's reading Ravanayan, I can totally see where you're coming from, and all the covers have characters like Solomon and the others who I'm very excited to check out and figure out the stories. And it's so nice to see an Indian company creating stories with an Indian context for an Indian audience. With that
you
in
literally
mind.
Took so the think... words out of me, out of my mouth, because I'll tell you something, and this is, I think, you decide if you want to keep it in the episode or not, but I think one of the problems that we had when we were growing up is that our heroes all had names like Phantom, Mandrake, Flash Gordon. And when the first stories that I started to write, my brain could not process the idea that a hero could have a name like Harish. So the first superheroes that I read who were like, you know, Indian superheroes were from Raj Comics. So in many ways, Nagaraj and Super Commando Dhruv literally saved my life. Like, people talk about superheroes saving the day or saving the world, right? They saved my world. Without them, I could not have been who I am right now. I could not have been writing stories set in India, stories that would make sense to other Indians. So I'm just trying to do the same thing for the next generation.
Absolutely. And I would also, you know, like to take this opportunity to appeal to Vivek to maybe start a Holy Cow podcast and get all these amazing stories out there in another form for us to consume.
That's a very good idea. I will, like, if he, I'm sure he'll listen to this podcast at some point of time in the future, possibly after he has murdered me. But but I'm sure it's a good idea and he should pursue this.
Yep, absolutely. So coming back, for the people tuning in, please check out Ravanayan, but also check out the rest of Holy Cow's catalog, which I will be ordering and be sharing the links to on the podcast show notes. And a special shout out to Vivek for running Holy Cow Entertainment, which is doing such groundbreaking work. And thank you, Vimo, for your time and your fantastic insights during our conversation.
Thanks, man. My pleasure.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning into the show. We appreciate you taking the time out for this. If you like what you heard, please share this with a few friends and leave a review rating on your favorite podcaster. This will help more people learn about the podcast. Until next time, this is Kritika from the Passion People Podcast wishing you a wonderful week ahead. Stay passionate. Cheers.